It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We'll examine the Yankee fans and how they are slowly but surely turning on Juan Soto, and we've got the evidence to provide.
Fake news.
It's not, though. I'll show you. Howie Rose will join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We've been honoring Howie throughout the day with some of his best calls. This is an underrated classic, and just in time for the Subway Series. Mets-Yankees 2006. David Wright, who was on the station earlier today, was on with Brandon and Sal. Take a listen to that. Odyssey app. But David Wright got a game-winning hit against Mariano Rivera. It was a nice comeback. But listen to how Howie takes his legendary put-it-in-the-book call and twists it just a tad.
The 2-2 pitch, swing and a fly ball, well hit center field. Damon going back, still going at the warning track, reaches up, can't get it, and one hops the wall. In to score is Laduca, and the Mets win it, 7-6. Put that in your books. The Mets beat Rivera in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they're all out to congratulate David Wright, who gets the game-winning hit.
I love that. Put that in your books.
Is he talking to you specifically?
I kind of felt that way. I kind of felt that way.
Evan Roberts, I know you're scoring this one.
Put that in your books. I think he may have been saying it more to the Yankees.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Put that in your books.
Well, you could look at it from a negative trolling standpoint. Or you could just say, I know that there are Met fans, Evan Roberts, who like to score. Put that in your book.
Look, it's always special when
Is
someone...
Is that one in my Mets Bible?
It did not make my Mets Bible.
Oh, see, he was telling you to put it in your book, and you didn't put it in the book.
You want to know why?
Why?
This is a rare one. I don't think I scored that game, because if memory serves correct, I was working at Sirius at the time, and I was doing nights, and what I would do is I would DVR the games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no big deal. I think that night I may have done the overnight, and when I'm doing the overnight here at WFN, I don't have time to DVR the game. So I think that's one of those rare games I don't have in my book, but I'm going to look, not the book, like a book of. But I will definitely take a look at that because I need to know. We will put the Yankee fan turning on Juan Soto under investigation in a few short minutes. But let me get to some of your phone calls. Frankie's on Long Island. What's up, Frankie?
Evan, Tiki, thank you guys for taking my call.
What up?
I just want to say this whole thing with Diaz is so dumb. I don't understand why they would not let him wash his hands. Max Scherzer, Clark Schmidt, even Herman, you could say, they let them wash their hands. Like, this whole thing makes no sense. And Evan, by the way, what happened with the Rico with the intro? What happened with
I'm
that?
I'm glad you asked. You want me to answer that one? So last night, and hello SNY, last night I was doing a Rico Bronya, my podcast. I was responding to the win and also a series recap. So every time a series ends, we always do a Rico. And Pete was very busy last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Pete Hoffman, just press record. That's all you got to do. Press record. I'll take care of the rest. Then Pete does that.
Mm-hmm.
He hits record, and I start talking. And about 5 minutes in, all of a sudden, the intro to the Rico Bronya plays. And then it played again. And again. And again. And I don't know what to do. Because I have this mantra.
Pete's not there anymore.
Well, Pete's not there, and I tried to text him, but he was very busy. So I couldn't stop it. And I'm trying to deliver the content. So all I could think about in my head that night, all I could think about was Mike Francesa. Because Mike Francesa's theme song is, he'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa. So I'm thinking to myself, get the sports any way that you can. I got to deliver this pod any way that I can. So even if our great worker, our great co-worker, and our great radio legend, Zach Martin, voicing, it's the Rico Bronya, is ringing in my ear over and over again. All I thought about was Uncle Mike.
Huh.
I got to deliver the sports any way that I can.
Well, I'm curious, because I listen to the Rico.
Yes.
I do regularly. I encourage those Met fans to as well.
Yes.
Because I like to know what you're going to talk about before I know what you're going to talk about.
That gets a heads up.
Right. But as I was listening to it, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, because for the podcast, Pete was able to cut out the intro.
How could he cut it out if it's over top of you?
I have no idea.
I mean, it was just, I heard it one time.
Yes.
And you stopped. I was like, what the hell's going on? Is this my car? Did this thing stop on me? And then you kept saying, or at least you did a couple of more times, this intro, it's killing me. But I never heard it again.
And then I tried to ignore it and just start talking about the Mets for 15 minutes. So I got a good, I think I did 25 minutes with this. Do you have a little clip so people who haven't heard it can hear how annoying this actually sounded?
You have it with the actual intro in it?
So yeah, I have the first 30 seconds, I believe.
That's right fine. Here. That's all you need.
Here we go.
Too much crap on his hands. He's out of here. So I'm not mad at the ESPN broadcast. It's just that it was a shock. I got up. I went to the bathroom. I'm like trying to cleanse myself a little bit, get ready for this bottom of the ninth inning. I'm thinking about the Rico. I'm thinking about how Edwin's on my fantasy team, and the only thing he could do is blow whip for me. And then all of a sudden, we get this.
It's the amazing. Rico,
and as soon as this
so it's amazing that. When I listened to it, driving in today, I did not hear that at all.
Yeah, he was able to cut it out.
That's amazing. Technology is awesome.
If you listen to the podcast in its traditional form, you won't hear it. But if you were watching on YouTube last night. So that happens for 25 minutes. And I power through. By the way, should I have powered through?
Yes.
Okay.
Because ultimately, when it's podcast and when the majority of people are going to listen to this after the fact, not live, then you don't hear it.
Right. I didn't even think about that at the time. I was just like, I got to get through this. And I want to thank Keith McPherson, who reached out numerous times to say, how can I help? I feel bad for you right now.
Right.
And we couldn't fix it. But then I ended it after a half hour. Usually I do these Ricos for about an hour or so. And I said, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I gave you a half hour. I'm done. I shut my computer. I go to sleep. Then I get a text from Licata saying, dude, what's going on? Right. The live stream is still on. And I'm like, what? Then I go back to the live stream with Keith McPherson helping me out on how to somehow end it, and I couldn't end it.
That's funny.
And apparently people were hanging out like, what's going to happen next? And nothing happened
next. You created a viral moment.
Yeah, we created
it unintentionally.
We created a moment, all right.
Right. If you want to know what Hoff was busy with, listen to the Rico Bronya.
Why? Did I say
you
what it was?
You said it on the Rico
Bronya. Oh, did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh.
I didn't know if I believed you or not, but you tossed it off.
Well, put it this way. Whatever I said on the Rico last night may not be true. Maybe I was just angry.
Casamigos is delicious.
Whose side is he on? I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. Tonight at 9 o'clock, we're going to do another live Rico, and there won't be any intros going on to kind of recap and look ahead to the Subway Series, really to preview the Subway Series. So 9 o'clock, Rico, YouTube live anyhow. Now, I gave Keith McPherson a lot of credit. Now, Keith, if you're listening, you're Exhibit A. Because New York Yankee fans are turning on Juan Soto. And look, here's the reality. Juan Soto has slumped recently. I don't think there's any denying that.
Yep.
Juan Soto had a couple of defensive miscues a couple days ago against Baltimore. No denying that. We have now seen some of the negatives of Juan Soto.
Juan Soto struck out while not in the box yesterday.
Then you have that. And that seemed to be the thing that sparked a lot of Yankee fans, that Juan Soto tries to call timeout, doesn't get it. And then Jose Jimenez.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Jimenez throws a fastball right down the middle, strikes him out. So here's evidence one on Keith McPherson, diehard Yankee fan, turning on Juan Soto. Quote, Soto, go back in the dugout, bro, enough. Or get your glove, go out in the field. Always arguing and showing up the umps, and what do you expect? Grace, no shot. That's Keith McPherson. Then you've got...
I don't know if that's an anti-Juan Soto. I think it's just...
It's turning on him slowly. It's a heel turn.
Okay.
Heel turn.
I'll give you that.
Then we've got Chris McMonagle. Does overnights here at WFAN. Also part-times as Brian Cashman's S-kisser. So he does two jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
Works at WFAN and, you know... pooches Brian Cashman's tukus you know, whenever it feels the need to. On Juan Soto, the complaining all the time, the act gets old.
Suck it!
Whoa!
The act, hey, don't smile over there. Exhibit number 3. I was told, Tiki, you were told months ago that there would be a no booing policy of Juan Soto.
That's right.
So that you wouldn't lose him as a free agent.
And there was only one guy who was screaming it from the mountaintops.
Sean Morash. I want you to answer the question. All right. I'm the defense attorney and you're the witness.
You're under oath right now.
You're under sports oath. Remember, you're about to be sentenced on July 11th for the crimes against sports humanity you committed a few months ago. And so that sentencing is still happening.
I'm pumped. I'll be at Splish Splash.
Well, you'll still be sentenced. You don't have to show up. Did you boo Juan Soto Friday night?
Ev, have you ever driven above the speed limit?
Yes.
Then yes, I booed Juan Soto.
You booed Juan Soto?
I booed Juan Soto.
You broke your own rule.
Reluctantly, something had to be done to spark the team. And when you're 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts, and you're coming up for a fourth that bat, and you look disinterested down 8-1 and even swinging a bat, I felt it was only right to Giancarlo Stanton, who I've done similarly in the past, that was appropriate time to whoop out a boo, and Juan Soto should appreciate that we expect more in that spot.
Mm. But were you joined by your fellow Yankee fans?
No. In fact, 2 people responded. One told me, shut up, bleep, bleep. And the other promptly said, is that Loogie?
Loogie!
I thought Loogie was blowing. Nobody else joined me.
Well, by the way, good job by Yankee fans. Yes. I commend you. I think that showed a lot of willpower.
Do as Sean says, not as he does.
But you preached, and I thought it was so beautiful, before this season, hey, the guy's a free agent at the end of the year. We don't know what's going to happen. We're not going to do endless speculation on this, but we better make him feel comfortable. Let's not boo him no matter what happens. Those are your words. That was your idea, not mine.
Yeah.
What the hell flipped on a Friday night at Yankee Stadium?
So I'm going to tell you right now. First of all, I'm a weak, weak man. I am not a leader. I'm a follower. And I should have led better, and I could not. Mm. What happened, similarly, and I've tried to explain this to people. When I booed Giancarlo Stanton the first of many times, it was a driving, freezing rainstorm, 0 for 5, 5 strikeouts, and circumstances mattered.
Mm-hmm. But that was his first game with the Yankees.
This game was 8-1. Mm-hmm. Juan Soto looked disinterested every at-bat, was about to be 0 for 4.
He may have had a bad morning.
Maybe
he woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
It was 97 degrees to the point where if I had a change of underwear, I would have had the change. Okay? It was like sitting in soup. And frankly, the game was 2-0 before anybody had taken a sip of a beer or a bite of a hot dog. The game was a disgrace, and the main show attraction didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Well,
so it was time for me to let him know that's unacceptable one.
Okay, I've got so many things that are wrong with this. Number one, Aaron Judge went 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts. Did you boo Aaron Judge?
No, but I have.
I'm sure you have.
But on this occasion, why did you choose to take your ire out on Juan Soto?
They both had,
and not everybody else.
They both had bad days.
I'll be completely honest with you. It was jarring to me when I looked up at the scoreboard and said, it was one of those things as you're watching a game you don't realize until the end. Wait a minute, you're 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts? Get the heck out of here. And then when he stood up and I watched him, why am I still sitting in here not in the car on the way home if you have no interest in batting? So it sparked me a little
bit. Because Juan Soto doesn't swing the bat doesn't mean he doesn't have interest. He's a patient hitter. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means you're going to take strikes, bro.
Yeah. And I mean, at that point after, I'd already been told to shut up, bleep, bleep, so I wasn't going to follow that with a judge booing me either.
If Juan Soto leaves as a free agent, and who knows where he goes? I know half the audience
here we go.
I didn't do anything. I'm saying if he leaves as a free agent, he can go anywhere. He can go to the Giants for all I know. I have no idea. And at his press conference with a new team, and he's asked, hey, you know, what happened? And he says, look, I like New York. There was this one night, though, where I got booed. And to me, I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I'm hitting 303.
Right.
I'm having a great year. And I'm getting booed on a Friday night.
And I'm Juan Soto.
And I'm Juan bleeping Soto. Fuck. How would you feel?
In the 0.3% chance that that moment actually happens, I would go Steve Bartman and I actually would retire from radio.
That would be it?
Because then it would tell me how powerful the voice really is here. And if I was the one that drove Juan Soto away from here as a Yankee fan, I would feel extremely guilty and I would not be able to show my face at Yankee Stadium again.
Wow. Be careful guaranteeing that you'll retire. We've seen it happen and not happen.
Yeah. You know what?
Yes.
That's fine. Right. I've also seen Brett Favre retire.
I also just think you need to be you know, consistent with what you say.
You're right. Like, you're right. I had a weak moment, dude.
Your point about Soto at the beginning of the season, and it's worth reminding people, made a lot of sense. He said, look, this is a rarity. We acquired a star.
Mm-hmm.
He's not marrying us. He's dating us for the year. We need to be on our best behavior. And for you to be the one to go boo him on a Friday night in the middle of June, when, by the way, he's still hitting over 300. He still has an OPS over 900. Yes, he's slumping. Yes, he made some defensive miscues. Yes, he argued with an umpire. Like, I get all that. I don't know. It's just...
Okay, your take being judged by a judge, I'm going to be the judge,
yeah,
is so out of bounds.
Mine?
So out of bounds.
How am I out of
bounds?
Because,
look, Keith is just being Keith, right? He's being clever with his words, and he's awesome with it. And he's telling Juan Soto, stop. McMonagall,
yeah,
same way.
Yeah.
Sean, maybe he was on the same thing that Hoff was on. I have no idea. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankee fan, the Yankee fan is not turning on Juan Soto. There's no chance.
Oh, this is slow.
The Yankee fan.
This
is
turning slow on Juan evidence Soto. That it's beginning.
No, it's
he's
not.
Going through his first real slump as a Yankee, and you're already starting to see, oh, he's arguing too much.
No.
Oh, he's complaining.
That's,
oh,
that
he doesn't care on a Friday night.
That's a radio host saying that. Do you think all of the fans are upset about Juan Soto arguing a call?
There were a few, yes. Yes.
I think also what you're learning here, and by the way, he's right. The beers are two for the size of one. In this spot with Juan Soto, I think we've also reached, earlier than expected, a comfortability with him. He is a Yankee.
Mm.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and once you get comfortable,
yeah,
you realize what we're going to do.
He's
in New
embraced
York.
Us, so at this point,
but
you know what?
That,
we're treating you the same way we've treated Aaron Judge.
By the way, if you want to make a change in judgment on June 24th, I respect that. We all have a right to change our opinions. Are you telling me that right now, on June 24th, you are taking back your decree that Yankee fans should not boo Juan Soto, and that Juan Soto is such a Yankee, and he's fitting right in, that if he has a bad night, you can boo him? Is that what you're saying is the voice of many Yankee fans?
So the best way I could compare this to any non-Yankee fan, and I think any man or a female could agree, I viewed me booing Juan Soto the same way you view somebody who passes gas in front of a significant other for the first time. You're not sure how it landed yet, so I'm going to pull back and I'll wait a little bit because nobody's acknowledged it. So I am not going to pull back my decree. I'm going to stop booing him from this point forward. Maybe if I feel the time, and I'll see if it goes past. If we're comfortable with each other again, then it's all gas from here on out. So booing Juan Soto is a lot like farting in front of your girlfriend for the first time.
Are you lost on that
I'm
one?
I'm not following that.
It's a meritocracy, Pete.
It's a meritocracy. Let's go to David in the Bronx. How you doing, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show, and I love the Rico Brony. I'm really a big fan of that.
Appreciate
I'm actually surprised how much play it's getting today. I had Boomer this morning was pumping it up pretty big, and now you guys are all over it. So more respect to the Rico Brony.
Thank you.
And let's get back. Yeah, of course. Can we talk about Boone overplaying Stanton? Is that remotely possible? It seems like the guy doesn't get any rest, and I feel like the guy should be on the bench a lot. Like, I don't understand why he's playing almost every day,
yeah,
if not every day.
I don't think that is a contributing factor. First of all, he's playing every day because he has to. Right? They're compromised in so many other ways. But this feels like he has a Christian Watson situation. Let me explain.
The wide receiver for the Packers?
Yes.
Okay.
Christian Watson has had nothing but hamstring injuries since the moment he came into the league.
Okay.
As a rookie, even last year, he missed six games or so. I forget what the total number of games he was. And so after last season, he did a test. I forget what it's called, Cybex, whatever it is. And he found that he has an imbalance in one of his legs.
Mm.
And that's why he kept pulling his hamstring. And I think, interestingly, it was similar. It was a left hamstring. He kept pulling his left hamstring, and he found that there was an imbalance.
Right.
And so he actively corrected it, right? Because you can overtrain one side because you're not thinking about it. So he trained balanced, and now hopefully he doesn't have this issue anymore. Giancarlo Stanton had this exact same injury a year ago. It was a left hamstring strain. I had Sean check on it last year. I couldn't remember what the injury was. He had a left hamstring strain last year. And here we are in mid-June, end of June. He's got a left hamstring strain. Clearly, there is a physiological issue with his left hamstring.
So you don't think it matters how much he played?
Like, no, it would have happened anyway.
I think it was inevitable.
Yeah.
And so, because look, you saw it.
Yeah.
He was rounding third base. He did nothing aggressive. There was no like sudden start or stop or any of that. He just kind of went.
By the way, I think I saw it because I heard Giancarlo after the game or yesterday. I'm trying to get my days confused or figured out. And he said he's not even sure where he got hurt. So it may not even been on that play.
Well, I mean,
it may have been going to the bathroom. I injured my hamstring once doing that.
You saw him round third, and that's when his face was like, ouch.
Right.
He saw that ouch on his face.
That's what I thought,
too. And he slowed down and started limping a little bit.
But he didn't confirm that that's, maybe he felt it before that.
Maybe.
He also said in relation to last year, he thinks it's not as bad. Now, that's a key, because how much time did he miss last year?
He missed 6 weeks.
Right.
I mean, it was a while last
year. But if it's not as bad and it's any day less, that's at least a good thing.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you ask a Yankee fan, when do you think Giancarlo Stanton's coming back? In fact, that's going to be our new long-term bet. Mm-hmm. You know, we did the long-term bet of when is he going on the IL. I obviously won that by saying June 25th. I was off by a day and a half. I hope to be right about this one because I'm going to give a positive answer. But we did this about Julius Randle. When will he come back? Long-term bet alert. Long-term bet alert. Would you like to go first? You want me to go first this time?
I'll go first.
Oh, Tiki likes to go first.
I like to go first.
Yeah. When will Giancarlo Stanton be activated from the injured list and return to the lineup?
Right after the All-Star break.
Right after All-Star break. Can you give me a date on that one, Lugie?
Mm-hmm.
July. What's the date after the All-Star
break? What am I, a genie? You rub the lamp 19th. And I have the answer
July
for you?
July 19th.
You're the executive producer. I expect you to know everything.
I don't give a rat's ass about that.
July 19th. Because even if he's healthy, I think they hold him.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. First of all, you don't have to care about the All-Star game, but like for the show, you're the executive producer. I trust you to know everything.
No, you didn't know the answer, so you threw me under the bus because I didn't have the answer.
No, I'm asking you.
You dumped it down to me, and I dropped the ball.
Let's give him a pay cut, and let's go to Sean. Sean, do you want to be the new executive producer?
How would I know that right off the top of my head without any warning?
I think that's also a thing called Google.
Yeah, thank you, Tiki. Google.
But he gave me 2 seconds.
Sean got it. It's all good. All July 19th.
July 19th. So your official prediction is July 19th.
Prediction.
Less than a month.
Less than a month.
You're very positive, T.
Because it didn't look bad.
No, I'm not. Dude, it's a prediction. I got no problem with that.
Honestly, it looked like, and again, I'm basing this off of watching him round third base and then slightly pull up. He still went home. It's not like he fell down on it. Like, oh, I'm drinking.
No, it didn't look like he got shot or anything.
He just kind of slowed down a little bit, and you saw him grimace. He didn't even grab for it,
right?
Which tells me it's not like a massive, you know, cramp or tear or something like that.
Right.
So, but I do think even if he starts to feel better before July 19th, he's going to take that time.
Okay.
So
Gerrit Cole bobblehead day, too.
Ooh, that's nice. A good one.
All right,
July 19th
is Gerrit Cole scheduled to pitch that day?
Well, it's the first game after the All-Star break, probably, actually, yes.
Good point.
It's a very good point. They play the Rays that day. All right, Sean, what date does he come back?
Tuesday, August 6th versus the Angels.
Mm. August 6th against the Angels. I like that one.
Dude. A long time, bro.
6.5 weeks.
Lugie, go ahead.
July 30th, day before the deadline.
Mm. July 30th. So my initial, this is why I wanted to go first, because now the date I pick is like very close to all of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to go with August 2nd, the day after the trade deadline. Like I was going to go with a clean, this is our trade acquisition bit, which is what.
Oh, God, I'm so sick of that.
Oh, no. None of us love it, but teams do it to us.
You hear it every year.
So if I go with August 2nd, it's kind of peaked in between. But you know what? That's my initial thought, so I'm going to stick with it. August 2nd against the Toronto Blue Jays. That's when he returns. And by the way, ask yourself this if you're a Yankee fan. You heard all those dates. Do you sign for those dates? Because I think July 19th is very aggressive. You're saying less than a month, and they've already said he's going to be out for a month. So what you're implying, which could happen, by the way,
is not as bad.
Is that it's not as bad as they say, and it's a really speedy recovery. Could happen. I would be doubtful on that. Sean is the most pessimistic because he's going to August 6th, and then me and Lugie are basically within a few days of each other.
I also think they're going to be very, very careful in not rushing him back because they're going to want the best of Giancarlo the rest of the
time. All right. Well, we're all on the same page on this long-term bet. We all see him pretty much coming back late July, early August. And yes, somebody will say, it's like a trade acquisition. Mm. You will hear that at some point. We'll get back to your calls in a second. Plus, does Francisco Lindor secretly hate Met fans? We may have proof that that is, in fact, true. But let's listen to another classic Howie Rose call. In fact, personally, this one is my all-time favorite. I'm going to give it to you right now. My favorite Howie Rose call. The final out of the divisional series in 2015. It's the New York Mets. It's the LA Dodgers. It is game 5. Winner take all. Jacob DeGrom is on the mound. He battles through those 6 innings. The Mets are nursing a one-run lead, and Jairus Familia is looking to close it out in the ninth inning. And this final at-bat happened very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, Howie Rose.
Familia, one strike away. You could hear the nervous murmur from the crowd and hear the heartbeats of Mets fans 3,000 miles away. The 0-2 pitch, swung at and missed strike three. Put it in the books. The New York Mets are going to the National League Championship Series. Familia jumped on by Travis d'Arnaud. The Mets pour out of the dugout, pour out of the bullpen. They're mobbing each other at the pitcher's mound. The New York Mets have defeated the Dodgers in five games of the division series. They win game 5-3-2. Jacob DeGrom, every bit the bulldog that Oral Hershiser was all those years ago. And Daniel Murphy has the game of his life with probably the most famous stolen base in Mets history, the catalytic agent, and later Murphy hit what proved to be the game-winning home run. The Mets and the Cubs in the National League Championship Series beginning on Saturday night at Citi Field. And get ready for a long narrative about 1969.
I think what gets me about the call is the heartbeats back in New York City, because that was all of us.
Right.
And I remember being so nervous watching every moment
so
of this game.
The Islander call you played, that was a TV call?
That was a TV call, MSG Plus, yes.
Yes.
This is a radio call.
It's so different, the radio calls from the TV calls.
No doubt, and he had to do both.
I'm just saying the TV calls are quick, they're like succinct, and they're done. Well, whereas on the radio, it's like he's giving a history.
Can I give you a great example of it? Can I give you a Howie TV call?
Go ahead.
You can hear the difference because you're 100% right. And this is another one. This is up there. The Mike Piazza post 9/11 home run.
Mm.
And remember, Howie is doing TV at the time. I think it was Fox Sports New York. It was called back then. So it's the moment, obviously, and it's also letting the picture tell the whole story. Here is Howie Rose, Fox Sports, back in 2009.
Lopez wants it away. And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza! And the Mets lead 3-2.
And by the way, that's the call.
Yeah.
And he let it sit. As you can hear, it just lets it sit and marinate.
You can do that with television.
Yes. Well, I think it's a part of what was so impressive, is so impressive about his career, is the ability to do both.
Right.
Because
do both really, really well.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the TV, for as long as he did it felt like he did TV for like 8 or 9 years with the Mets. Obviously, the Islanders on TV, but before that, the Rangers on the radio, and now the Mets on the radio. It's not easy. And he has certainly given us a lot of memories. And he'll be joining us in a little over a half hour. We will talk to the great Howie Rose. We'll come back. Your calls. Andrew Tiki on this beautiful Monday, a summer Monday here in New York City. We are going to be live from Citi Field tomorrow and Wednesday at the Cadillac Club. Live here on WFN and the Odyssey app at 2 o'clock. The full show will be on SNY as well, beginning at 2 o'clock. And there is one locked-in guest that's official that I can announce. And obviously there will be plenty more, but there is one that is official. Tomorrow, for the first time on Evan and Tiki, at 3 o'clock, we will be joined by the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza. So we'll talk to Mendy coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll have a lot of Yankee guests. We'll have some Met guests. It'll be a fun couple of days out at Citi Field. 2 o'clock tomorrow, 2 o'clock on Wednesday, the big Subway Series between the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Now, before we get back to your calls, here's another classic Howie Rose call, the final out of the Johan Santana no-hitter.
Takes a deep breath and steps to the third base side of the rubber. Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter in the 8,020th game in the history of the New York Mets. They finally have a no-hitter. And who better to do it than Johan Santana? And what a remarkable story. His teammates are mobbing him at the mound. The players in the bullpen are trotting in.
It is a surreal feeling here at Citi Field. The first no-hitter in the history of the New York Mets has been pitched by as worthy a candidate as anyone, Johan Santana. Put it in the books, in the history books. One of the seminal moments in the history of this franchise.
You guys want to still call it a one-hitter? You guys still want to do that?
Why don't you
do it when Howie comes in?
I will. You know what? I will. I'll grow a little stones. Howie, all the great calls you had, and with all due respect, how do you not call that a one-hitter?
Listen to the emotion in his voice, man. That's one of those calls. Sean was saying this to me off air, that there are certain calls. He gets it when he goes to Giant games. Like, whenever he hears the David Tyree play,
He
gets emotional, no matter what. And there are certain calls that do that to me, and the Johan no-hitter is one of them. There's no doubt about that. So I was even like listening to it saying, oh my God, this is amazing. I remember what I thought and all that.
Did you pull the call when it hit the chalk or no?
Excuse me?
When the ball hit the chalk, when it should have been a hit, do we have Howie's call on that?
You want to find it?
I'm going to shut up now.
If you want to go find it, we'll play it. I got no problem with that.
Do you remember what it sounded like?
No, I was at the game.
Do you?
No, I'm curious.
Oh, so you're asking.
He may not have even made that call because, remember, he doesn't do 9 full innings. So I think that, what inning was that where Beltran hit the chalk?
I don't know, but I remember having to explain to Summers what had happened.
Oh, okay. what does that even mean?
Because you were on air? He was on air?
Steve was down. We were running the game. Steve was downstairs smoking a cigarette. He came back up, and I had to explain. It's really a hit, but they ruled it not a hit. Oh, what happened? But it's not a hit. Yeah. It was a great Steve moment.
You know, for someone that loves to talk about the ball hitting the chalk, you should know more about it. Tell me the inning. Tell me what the Howie call sounds like, or even how he made
seventh
the call.
Seventh inning.
Was it the seventh inning?
Was it?
You have no idea.
I'm sorry I don't remember every detail.
Well, you know what's funny? I don't remember the detail. You want to know why?
You're a Mets fan. How do you?
Oh, you know what? It was the sixth inning.
Because
now that I think about it.
I don't care about that play. Like, it doesn't. I didn't think of it at the time. I was at the ballpark.
Well,
I should, could, would. I don't. Like, what do you want me to tell you?
So you selectively only care about big Met plays in history?
No, I'm saying I was at the game, and when that play happened, I wasn't thinking it was an obvious missed call. I was at the game. I didn't see the replay 150.
Yeah, which is different because you're not seeing it 10 times.
Right.
That's and just, you're feeling the emotion of the crowd. If you watched on TV, you would have thought it was more one hitter.
Okay, but I wasn't. I was at the game. I mean, it's very, very different. Anyhow, I got to get this off my chest because this one is sort of bothering me. Francisco Lindor has been amazing. Mm-hmm. He's been a great, great New York Met over the last couple of weeks and months. He's gotten red hot, really, since Mendy moved him to the leadoff spot. It's been unbelievable. Francisco Lindor was on a podcast recently and was asked a very direct question about who would be his Mount Rushmore of shortstops. Very innocent question, right?
Sounds like it.
And I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear that. Like, I'm really fascinated to hear who Francisco has as his Mount Rushmore of shortstops. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, what's the issue here? It's almost as if Francisco Lindor said, how can I make Met fans hate me by giving an answer that could kill their soul as much as possible? Now, I don't know if Francisco did that because he seems to love New York and he seems to love all of us. But his answer on the Mount Rushmore of shortstops, I'm going to let you take a listen from his own mouth, was almost like a girlfriend that hates their boyfriend but won't say it. So, like, does things sometimes in which you're like, I don't think she likes me. Like, I know we're sleeping together and I know we're hooking up, but I'm just not sure. Like, I don't like what she said or did when we were out to dinner that night. And so you start to get this feeling, well, she really hates me. Why are we even together? So, ladies and gentlemen, Francisco Lindor's Mount Rushmore shortstops.
You can put 4 shortstops on your Mount Rushmore. Who are you for?
I got Jeter, Larkin, number 3 would be Jimmy Rollins. Number 4, Roberto Alomar. I know he's a nice shortstop, but I gotta put him up.
Oh. Wait, so let's go over this. Derek Jeter, who haunts our dreams. Barry Larkin, who was traded to the Mets in 2000 and then invoked his no trade clause to say, I'm good, which had us settle for Mike Bordick instead.
Okay, do you think he knows that?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, third. But why?
Third was Jimmy Rollins, who is hated in Met history. And the fourth was a guy who didn't even play shortstop, but came to the Mets and sucked our, like, fanhood away by being so terrible in Roberto Alomar. Like, he couldn't have even picked one guy that we would have been okay.
I think that is so unintentional.
Is it?
Yes. I don't think he understands the Met history like that.
Okay.
Not deep enough to know who you hate.
Tiki's 100% right, but here's the problem.
Yes.
Because you're a shortstop in the major leagues. You don't have to go back as far as Ozzie Smith or all that. You give a second baseman fourth? Like, to me, you got to go a little deeper on the position you play.
Well, you should have at least known Ozzie Smith. I hardly watch baseball.
I'm just saying,
Ozzie Smith was one of the great shortstops.
A little younger. Can I get an Omar Vizquel out of you?
Well, I think he said Alomar because Alomar is his favorite all-time player. So I think he was like, you know what? I'm going to use this middle infielder. But he could have thrown us a bone and said Jose Reyes.
A-Rod?
Yeah. He could have said A-Rod. By the way, that wouldn't have even bothered me. Like, not because he wasn't even a shortstop with the Yankees. So I wouldn't have been like, A-Rod. I know we should have signed them in 2001. But think about it. All four guys have a history at kicking us in the sports hood
area. Yeah, but how would he know that? How would he know that?
I don't know.
Because I don't know that.
You know what it's like, though? Again, I'll use the girlfriend analogy. Your girlfriend starts, like, telling you stuff that she probably doesn't know you hate, but you hate it. And you're thinking to yourself, she hates my guts.
I think you have to give him a pass on that one.
You want me to give him a pass?
Yeah, I think he deserves a pass on that
one. Should I give him a pass?
Without a doubt. Because he just doesn't know the history.
I know.
And even if he knows Met history, he's not thinking of the Met anti-history.
He couldn't name one shortstop that didn't assault us? Like, literally, Derek Jeter, it speaks for itself. I don't need to go into any more detail. Jimmy Rollins, again, don't even need to give you detail. And then a guy who refused to trade here in 2000, and another guy who don't even play shortstop, who came here and was terrible.
So 2000 was 25 years ago. He was, what, 5?
He still said Barry Larkin.
Okay, he's 5 years old.
I'm just saying.
25 years ago. How the hell is he? First of all, he doesn't even know that Jimmy Rollins. He probably didn't even know that trade happened.
No, the Barry Larkin one?
Trade didn't happen, whatever.
I agree. He probably doesn't know, but that's not even the point. Is he named four guys? They all are guys we despise.
I don't believe in coincidence, but that's coincidence.
Oh, okay.
I also have to defend Lindor in this regard. Evan, you're going to take this as a shot at the Mets. It's very easy to rattle off a bunch of baseball names and have some kind of tie into basically stepping on the Mets' throats.
Right.
Yeah, but don't wait. Hold on a second.
You're like the dog that gets kicked. I mean,
I understand that, but Jimmy Rollins, Derek Jeter, Robbie Alomar, and Larkin, fine. You want to say that one's a stretch? Fine. I'll give that to you. It's a trade that most people don't remember. That's fine. The other three, he couldn't name. All he had to do was just say, and Jose Reyes. That's it.
Yeah. I
wouldn't have brought this up. I would have been like, all right, he gave
Jose
me a race.
Jose Reyes, GOAT of all time? That's what he's talking about? I mean,
is I guess Jeter and Larkin are.
Well, Jimmy Rollins. Jimmy Rollins better than Reyes.
Jimmy Rollins was very overrated.
He's not talking about who are your favorite shortstops. He's talking about Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Jimmy.
That's like GOAT status.
Yeah, Jimmy Rollins needs to buy a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame.
I get it. If you were Bobby Witt Jr. and you're thinking about his age demo and he rattled off those three guys, you probably don't have a big issue with it.
Look, I want to make this clear. I don't think Francisco Lindor meant anything by it. It was just, it was like a gut punch and reminded me of that secret dislike that someone has for you and they never say it. But then you're like, oh, you hate me. Kind of like me and Lou Gower. Like, Lugi hates me even if he doesn't say it.
Yeah.
And so I think Lindor may secretly hate us.
Yeah.
For the record, I don't hate him.
But does Lindor hate us?
No, he doesn't.
No. He doesn't hate us, but
I think you need to get off of his back. He doesn't know Met history like you know Met. Don't undermine him or malign him because he doesn't know as much Met history as you do.
Well, I'm not.
That's what you're doing.
All I was asking is, can you not name four guys that, you know, have done things to us?
Does he hate baseball history, too? Can you name four shortstops? He couldn't even get the four shortstops. That's pretty bad. He named Robbie Alomar, who didn't play shortstop. That was bad, too.
Well, but when you think about it, like, some of the great ones were when he was a kid. Or even before. He was born, probably. You know what I mean?
No, but we had a resurgence. Like you had the Jeter. No, but Jeter, A-Rod, Miguel Tejada, Nomar. There was a resurgence of shortstops in his young age.
Yes,
and he got Robbie Alomar.
But are they like Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame types?
No, but your Mount Rushmore is your personal favorite. Just we could have a Mount Rushmore movie. Sean would probably have a movie that
that's
no one
I,
likes.
That's why I hate the Mount Rushmore thing.
No, it's so stupid.
Because people, you get crushed no matter what you do. No matter what you do. Because if you say somebody, as you just alluded to, Lugie, that's personal to you, people think you're an idiot because how could you put that person on your Mount Rushmore?
Who's on the Mount Rushmore of giant running backs? Got to put yourself. Don't be humble. Got to put yourself.
Frank
Gifford. Tiki Barber. Did you say Tiki? You didn't say Tiki.
I didn't say myself.
He's got to keep himself out.
O.J.
O.J. Anderson, okay. Mm-hmm. Number two. Yeah. Number three. Could it go Saquon Barkley?
I mean.
Dude, that he's dead to us. Let's not forget he's dead to us.
Hamp.
Rodney Hamp. Oh, come on.
He's my guy.
I love making Tiki uncomfortable because he doesn't want to say himself.
Joe Morris.
Sean, the Mount Rushmore Giant running backs.
Ron Johnson.
Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber. Ron Tiki Johnson. Barber. Tiki Barber.
Tiki Barber, Brandon Jacobs, Derek Ward, and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, that's not biased.
All the 2,000 running backs. I love it. By the way, there is an update on the reporting on Edwin Diaz, by the way.
Oh, yes. What do we
coming
got?
Coming from SNY, Andy Martino.
Hello, SNY. SNY going to be with us for a full 4 hours, Tuesday and Wednesday.
One person briefed on this said it actually wasn't that hard.
What wasn't that hard?
Throwing him out. Because according to MLB rules, there is no too sticky. It's binary. It's either yes or no. Is it sticky or is it not sticky?
Mm-hmm.
And it was deemed sticky, therefore he was ejected. There's a difference, apparently, between sticky and tacky. Sticky means it sticks. Tacky means it's just kind of, I don't know, like tactile. I don't know.
It's I don't believe them.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you, and I believe the reporting. I don't believe Major League Baseball.
The reason.
I don't believe that the umpires are like so unbiased with this.
And the reason, because you're not allowed to have anything sticky.
Mm-hmm.
So Edwin Diaz comes out of the bullpen and his hands are sticky. You know that he did something other than rosin and sweat, whatever he said. The reason that Clark Schmidt and Max Scherzer and these others who were ejected got a chance to wash their hands is because when they got tested before, it wasn't sticky. And so whatever they did happened on the mound, all right? So maybe they had something in their belt, who knows? Whatever they did happened on the mound, so they could just assume it was rosin and sweat. It just got a little too sticky. Go wash your hands. That's why they get the benefit of the doubt. And Edwin Diaz, who comes out of the bullpen, not tacky, it's sticky, gets ejected.
Yeah, still don't believe them. But I appreciate
that's the clarification.
Oh, I got you. Appreciate the attempted clarification of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Artie's in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Ev, how's everything going?
We're good. What's up, man?
So listen, you spent all this money on the tickets. I gave mine up. But doesn't it bother you that Diaz is out and Robertson should be our closer right now? I mean, were we asking too much to sign a guy like Robertson? What the heck are we doing here?
I don't
think... Do you have any...
As far as David Robertson is concerned, I wonder, and I know he's had like a decent year for Texas, I wonder if the Mets just didn't think he had much left. He was 39 years old. He was terrible for the Marlins after the trade. So when you look at the offseason and you relitigate it and say, oh, if we had this guy, I'd feel very differently. I didn't look at David Robertson and the Mets not signing him as this ultimate miss-out situation. And the Mets have had good arms out of their bullpen this year. Their bullpen's had a weird year. It had a very good April, had a terrible May, much like the rest of the team, and then had a great June.
Yes.
Like, their bullpen has pitched well. And I don't look at David Robertson necessarily as the missing link to this team. That's just the way I view it. Now, this is going to be a lot for 10 days. The Mets are going to need guys to step up. Jake Diekman's got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Ottavino, even though he's been used in mop-up roles lately, needs to step up. Drew Smith, as much as we all think he stinks, needs to step up. And then obviously the two more important arms, Reed Garrett and Dedel Nunez, who have taken on more important roles, they got to step up. Because this is not going to be easy replacing a closer for 10 days where you're not only replacing the ninth inning, but then you're replacing whoever's replacing him in the earlier innings.
Yeah, it gets really interesting with the roster decisions as well. Because what happens if you do get short in your bullpen?
Can I tell you what I would do?
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you what I would do. It's very, very simple. And Met fans, you're going to love this. You're going to be very, very happy with what I say. Number one, unfortunately, Edwin Diaz's spot on the roster is just there. Like, you can't put him on any list to activate somebody, so you've got to send someone down. And the guy they would send down is Danny Young because he's the up-and-down guy. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would call up Christian Scott, and I would insert Christian Scott into said rotation. And I would tell Tyler McGill, Tyler, you're going to be very, very important, but you're coming out of the bullpen. And now you've got two arms in Adrian Hauser and Tyler McGill who are long guys so that if you have a start that doesn't go deep, which happens with this rotation, you don't have to use every guy in your bullpen. Maybe if Hauser or McGill look good out of the bullpen, you could get four innings out of them. So I think you need a second long guy. Yeah. That guy should be McGill. Yeah. And then, yeah, you need your starters to step up because you can't go to the bullpen in the fourth or fifth inning every day. But number one, Christian Scott should be in the rotation anyway. Mm-hmm. So this shouldn't just happen because of this. But I think you need to put a second guy in that bullpen who can eat up a lot of innings because the Mets for 10 games are going to be very shorthanded in their bullpen.
Right. Right. The biggest issue is going to be starting pitching depth. Or length, I should say. How deep they get into games is going to determine whether or not Mendy has to really make some tough decisions.
Yeah, it's crazy to say the biggest replacement for Edwin Diaz is going to be Sean Manaea,
yeah.
Luis Severino, David Peterson, and the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need guys to go deeper into games. Let's go to Carter in Forest Hills. How you doing, Carter?
Hey, so love you, Evan. I've been following you for years. I got to take you to task a little bit on this Francisco Lindor shortstop list.
All right.
Thank you, Carter.
So this is such a non-issue. It really, really is. First things first, I will agree that Francisco Lindor, no institutional knowledge of the position he plays, kind of a little problematic if you ask me personally. Like, yeah, putting Robbie Alomar, no matter if he's your favorite player or not, on a shortstop list, when the guy's a second baseman, kind of shows a lack of knowledge that you should really have when you're being paid $330 million to play shortstop for the New York Mets. What do I know? Second, your entire thing about, you know, couldn't he pick people that didn't, like, kick us in the groin? I guess when, you know, you're the New York Mets and your entire franchise history has been punching bags for other teams, everything seems like an attack. But Derek Jeter, like, that's like the one good pick he has on that list. And, like, I think Jimmy Rollins, solid overall player, shouldn't really be on that list. Barry Larkin, okay, I get it, but as Tiki said, he's not really going to know that little bit of Mets front office history,
right,
especially coming from Cleveland and Puerto Rico. And the other factor about it, too, is Jose Reyes? Really?
Really? No, hold on.
That's what you're asking?
That's the big one. It's like, okay. Jose Reyes. Why would he say Jose Reyes?
Well, hold on. We're doing two things. Like, if we're going to break down our Mount Rushmore of shortstops, I could give you a list, or Tiki's Mount, or any of our Mount Rushmores. I'm not criticizing his list based on merit. I'm criticizing his list in that it seems like somebody who secretly hates us and said, I'm going to name four people that Met fans hate.
Yes, but you made
even
it
if
sound,
that's irrational and crazy.
But you're positioning it as if he's doing that intentionally.
Sometimes you
and
don't...
And it could just be ignorance. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying, he's just in lack of awareness. He doesn't know.
Coincidentally named four guys that stuck it to us.
That you know stuck it to the Mets. He doesn't know that.
No, I am aware that he probably doesn't know that. I'm not concerned about his lack of knowledge of the position. I mean, just because, and I don't know how much baseball he watched as a kid, but that's not a prerequisite. You don't have to watch a lot of baseball
as a kid. You don't have to be good at it. You have to watch it to be good at it.
No, and think about this. A part of why I know so much about baseball is because I wasn't good enough to play it all the time. Right?
Yeah.
So on Tuesday nights, while the more athletic kid was on their travel team, I was scoring a Met game. So I don't have an issue with Lindor not knowing everybody in the history of baseball. It was one of those moments. And maybe I've had these moments in the past in relationships where you say, I think she hates me. Like, she didn't say anything, but, like, I'm getting this impression that she really resents me.
Yeah.
And with Lindor, that was one of those brief moments of, wow.
Well, it's clear he didn't model his game after someone, which is kind of commendable.
Yeah, well, he did
become a great defensive shortstop without watching, I don't know, Ozzie Smith do it.
He did say that he loved Roberto Alomar, and I heard more of this interview where Alomar was his favorite player. And by the way, I didn't even take that necessarily as a personal shot because Robbie Alomar is an all-time great player. He really is. He just happened to stink for the New York Mets. By the way, he mentioned Jimmy Rollins. Speaking of those frauds in Philadelphia, I am so confused by something that Cole Hamels did the other day. Cole Hamels was being honored in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I don't even know what they did. Did they, like, retire his number or something? Or
yes.
Put him in the...
retired his number.
They retired his number.
I had to double check that, too. I was surprised. But, yeah, it was his number retirement.
You know what? I'm going to be above this. That's fine. I mean, we're retiring a lot of numbers, too. It is what it is. So, Cole Hamels, who has a little bit of a history with the Mets.
Okay.
Some say it may have been provoked by me and Joe when we said, hey, aren't the Mets choke artists? And Cole Hamels repeated that, yes, they are choke artists, and then it became like a thing. So it was sort of our faults. But whatever, he was right. The Mets were choke artists. Cole Hamels tried to take a shot at the Mets during his press conference or during his ceremony on the field. I don't understand the shot.
Oh, I heard this.
Can I play it for you?
Yeah, I heard it and I didn't get it either.
All right, let's all listen to it together and maybe we can make sense of what the hell Cole Hamels is trying to say.
The jerseys, the sea of red. Everywhere you go, you guys come and you follow. You believe in us. Hence the booze. But it's okay. We, as players, completely understand. We didn't want to fail, but you guys wanted the best for us. And that's what you want. We want to give it to you. Unless you're the Mets.
What? What the hell does that even mean? Except, of course, they're Philly fans. Why would they root for the Mets? What a dope.
I think there was clearly a misspeak, but the way I interpreted that is the Mets don't give their fans what they want.
That's not what he said.
No, but he was saying... I think
that's what he meant based on what he was saying.
It's confusing to listen to because I heard it and it was like a drop the mic type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What do you think those idiots in Philadelphia were cheering at? Like, were they just confused?
Just saying that because he said the Mets.
He said Mets!
He could have said nothing. Yeah. He just said Mets and they would have cheered or booed or whatever.
We hate New York team. He said Mets, cheer.
Right.
Like, I don't understand that part too. Like, so Cole Hamels, A, it made no sense. And then B, the morons in the crowd, like, what are you cheering at? Like, do you even know what you're cheering at, you bunch of idiots? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Someone made a comment like that at a Mets ceremony, I would just be like, what the hell was that? Like, I wouldn't even cheer or boo. I wouldn't boo my own guy.
When I rehear something, I can start to figure out what the meaning of it was.
Right.
But I think he had something in his mind. I'm just going to give benefit of it. He had something in his mind. He was trying to take a shot at the Mets. He just missed like 8 words that he should have used.
He just missed 8 of them.
I'm just telling you. Unless you're the Mets. That didn't come out right.
What a moron.
Boo anyways, come on.
I think I'm more down on the fans. The fans are stupid. Like, what are you even cheering about?
They're like,
it's a meritocracy.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.